I mentioned a minute ago that Karen McElwee, is someone who has been, in the last couple of years, she's been swept up into the drama of God's renovating mercies. She's come to know him, and then she's landed here at Covenant College, and she's flourishing in her faith. And so today, even though this didn't just happen yesterday, she's coming to have the sign of baptism applied to her. And in some ways, this is not dissimilar to what happens when a young couple is to be, well, they get married, but they got no money. Some of you might have done this. And you might elope or something. And you might get married and you might exchange your vows, but you don't have any money for a ring. And so you're married, but you don't have the sign of your marriage on there, on your hand. And so as time goes on, you might accrue a little capital or develop a little income, and then you might want to do a public vow renewal where you get rings and exchange them with each other. And in a very real way, that's what Karen is doing. Some time back, she came to faith in Jesus, as we're hoping anybody here today who hasn't would. And she's now having the sign of her marriage to Jesus applied to her. Where Jesus, who has said through the prophets, through Ezekiel, here's what's going to happen one day. I'm going to sprinkle you with water and you're going to be clean. I'm going to take out your heart of stone and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. And then I'm going to put my spirit in you after I've removed from you your impurities and your idols and move you to walk in my ways and to be careful to observe all my commands. Well, Jesus has done that. He's made Karen clean. And now today he's going to apply the sign of that cleanliness, the sign of the coming spirit, the sign of their union, that she belongs to Jesus and she's saying, Jesus, I'm glad about that. Wash me, unite me to you, and let the world see it and know it. And Hutch is going to perform that sacrament with Karen. Karen, would you come up?
Yeah, just come on up here, Karen. Just before we place the mark of baptism upon Karen, it's been a great joy for me to get to hear Karen's story and all that Jesus has been doing in her life recently. And I said to Karen, can you share that with all of us? Because it's really wonderful to hear how Jesus has pursued her, how she has come to full faith in him. And we just wanted to give her a few moments to share with you what he has done in her life, and then we will place his mark upon her. So, Karen, would you share with us for a few minutes?
I wrote it down because I get nervous. And I know I'd ramble if, I don't know, this looks like a lot, but it's not. Okay, well, I wanted to start by reading Hosea, a passage from Hosea that actually, it like, just feels like it's me. And it's from Hosea 2, and it says, "But I will fence her in with briars and thorn bushes. I'll block the road before her to make her lose her way, so that when she runs after her lovers, she will not catch up with them. She will search for them, but not find them. She doesn't realize that all she has come from me. It was I who gave her all her gold and silver she used in worshiping other gods. But now I will take back the wine and ripened corn I constantly supplied, and the clothes I gave her to cover her nakedness. I will no longer give her rich harvest of grain in its season, or wine at the time of the grape harvest. Now I will expose her nakedness in public for everyone to see, and nobody will be able to rescue me from her hand." Wait, her from my hand. For all the incense she burned to her idols, and for the times when she put on her earrings and jewels and went out looking for her lovers and deserted me. For all these things I will punish her, says the Lord. But I will court her again and bring her into the desert, and I will speak tenderly to her there. I will transform her valley of troubles into a door of hope. She will respond to me there, singing with joy. In that coming day, says the Lord, she will call me my husband instead of my master. I will help you forget your idols. Their names will not be spoken anymore. You will lie down in peace and safety, unafraid, and I will bind you to me forever with chains of righteousness and justice, love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness and love, and you will really know me as you never have before. In that day, says the Lord, I will answer the pleading of the sky for clouds to pour down water on the earth and answer its cry for rain. I will give mercy to those who are not pitied, and I will say to those who are not my people, now you are my people, and they will reply, you are my God. Well, I'm nervous. But, I mean, I came to Covenant from Boston, and it's a very individualistic place. You learn that, like, you have to be yourself. It's all you need to be, and, like, whatever you are, that's it. So I guess I found my identity in all the wrong places. I found it in making other people happy, and never felt good enough, never happy. And I poured my heart into seeking acceptance, and it was used. It made me feel used and unvaluable. I sought attention in all the wrong ways, and it was just dark. I wanted to go to a big public school, I guess. And my mom was like, you should look for a bunch of Christian ones and just see and apply. And so I typed Christian schools in the South into Google, and this one came up. I was like, I guess I'll apply because it's like really pretty. I just wanted to go to Georgia, but I didn't really want anything to do with Christianity. And I was telling my mom yesterday, she gave me a Bible for graduation and to all my friends. And I threw them down the stairs, and I was so embarrassed. And I was like, I hate this. And I wanted to do whatever I wanted. Went through a major Lady Gaga phase. Just wanted to be, I don't know what I liked. It was weird. I was all for the gays. Not that I'm not anymore, but I don't know, just a very Massachusetts thing. So I left, and my friends made me promise that I wouldn't be brainwashed by this religious school. And I was like, I promise. But yeah, so I came to Covenant already hating it, and I had a very hard heart. I sat in the chapel pews while everyone was like, praise Jesus. I was like, a God, like, who are you people? And so, yeah, I didn't know any of the words to the hymns. I was like, I don't belong here. And I didn't talk to my roommates. They called it the Dark Ages. I literally sat in my bed, didn't talk, and watched, like, inappropriate movies. I don't know. It was weird. But I felt so stuck that I couldn't leave. And I misbehaved. And it tore me up, like, never before. I'd never felt it before, like, as bad as it was there. And I felt alone and empty and degraded and numb and unhappy and unloved. And I had nobody to relate to and nobody to talk to. And I was confused and desperate and realized that none of the things I had in high school were there for me. And I wanted control but couldn't grasp it. And I had nowhere to go. And so I went driving all over Trenton one day. I didn't care if I got lost or not. Planned on driving all the way back to Massachusetts. But, yeah, I cried and I yelled, and it was probably the most I've ever cried in my whole life. And I just, like, cried to God. And I was like, if you're really there, then, like, prove it. And he did. And the next day I was studying in the Ruhama Commons, and Hannah Brown just came up to me and asked if I was okay, and I broke down, and I told her everything, and she told me that I had to go to student development and turn myself in, and I hated her so much. I yelled that she was selfish and that she loved nobody but herself, and she was betraying, and then she did something that was so unexpected, and she told me she loved me. And she cried with me, and she told me how broken her heart was for me. And then I think it was, like, at that moment that I saw, like, what love was. And it was, like, the Jesus kind of love, the love I'd, like, never really seen before. And she told me she'd be a friend to me and not let me walk alone. And it made me cry harder. And I remember crying back, "You don't love me." And I felt so undeserving and so messy and so low. And I was confused. And Hannah Brown told me how much Jesus really loves me and how he can look beyond the mess and see me as his beautiful child. She told me about forgiveness and grace and how I shouldn't feel any dirtier than any other person here. She told me how beautiful it was that I was placed on Ruhama, meaning she has received mercy in Hebrew. She told me how God breaks you down, but he molds you and doesn't let you go, and that it would only get better. And that God will bring me into the desert and rebuild me out of nothing. That all this time I've been trying to fill the God-shaped holes in my heart with the wrong things. And she told me it was okay to be alone, because God is with me wherever I go. And his voice is always the loudest when there's no one else there to distract you with the lies. She told me all it takes is a little faith to make it grow into something big. And we prayed together that God would show up to me. And the next day, I was taking a student development, and I was shown grace for the first time. And I was expecting to wash windows and clean garbage off trails. And I was like, God, I just hate it. But student development said no, and that they loved me. And then I went to my softball coach, and she told me she loved me and that she had forgiven me. She didn't make me run or hate me. And then I felt so undeserving. And later that day, I walked to my mailbox and I got an anonymous verse in my mailbox with Jeremiah 29:13 saying, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And I asked everyone who did it, and they said it wasn't them. And I just thought of it as like God speaking to me. And I started seeking. And I'd stay after Old Testament, and I'd ask Dr. Jones all these questions about the Bible because I just didn't really understand it. And I'd talk to my roommate before I went to bed, and we used to read our Bibles together, and I'd ask her all these questions, and I started becoming friends with them. And I opened up to my softball coach and told her about all my problems. We were just so similar and had such similar stories, and it was just so much of a gift. And even my teachers at Covenant, the more I listened in biology, the more I saw all the amazing things that were so unexplainable by science that I had learned my whole life in public school. I had been blind to the beauty that Covenant was all around me, and what a gift it is to be able to be here right now. And I started going to church here with my roommates. And I started to love it, and I started listening. And the more I listened, the more I learned about brokenness and how it's okay. And it wasn't what I expected at all. That it doesn't matter if you know how to pray perfectly or have a perfect marriage or to have a broken heart. I love being able to go to the doors of his house and talk about comparison. And just, it's that it's something everyone struggles with. And that it doesn't matter how far along your walk you are with Jesus, as long as you're glorifying him in the best way you know how. And I've learned about hope, and that hope that there's more beyond the brokenness of right now. And I've learned that freedom doesn't mean doing whatever I want. And I'm feeling like I'm missing out on all the stuff my friends are doing back home. Being able to party and drink and be with whoever I want, but my freedom is in truth and in Christ. And that has set me free. God has ripped through all of the sin that has tangled me, the things that used to define me. I was vulnerable and weak and lost my identity for a while, but with Jesus in my heart, I've learned my identities in him. And how much more freeing can it be than to understand that Jesus has taken all of that shame I was feeling and all of that dirtiness and nailed it to a cross. And I continue to pray for God to break my heart and fix it, always reminding me that I don't have to be in control, that his grace is sufficient for me because his power is made perfect in my weakness. I just think Jesus is so real, and he's so here all around us. And I'm thankful to become a part of this church and continue to see the warm love that so deeply resembles the love of Christ, like the one another in community that they always talk about. that your care goes beyond just words, that you all care so deeply to the point where you'll tear up somebody's lawn and make a garden it just to make them happy and joyful. But yeah, I'm excited. Pastor Hutch says this is like marrying Jesus, so I'm marrying Jesus right now.